Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But it does lead me into the conversation that we are about to have. Because, again, everybody sort of picked out like their rankings. Like Adam called in earlier and he was like, listen, it's Joe's team until it's Shador's team in his eyes. And I think that's a way that a lot of people view this and want to view this is that it's just Joe's team to go. I don't know. I look at this thing, and I understand it's training camp, and again, I just told you we weren't drawing giant conclusions from training camp, but I do think you have to read into it at least a little bit. Like, it's not the end-all be-all right now, but the way they're operating does make it interesting. Like, I have to ask the question, and it's the same question I'll ask you guys at 216-474-0092. Who do you think the Browns want to start at quarterback for week one? Not who do you want, because I know Joe Flacco is going to be the name that comes out of your mouth, and if you still believe that for the Browns, then so be it. But it's not who do you want. Who do you think is the most equipped? It's who do the Browns want? And again, when they run through these drills and are giving a ton of reps with the guys, with rookies, and when Kenny was in, they were giving a lot of the reps over to the ones to those guys. Even if it ends up being Joe, and Joe is the guy that they fall back into giving it, I don't know that I'm committed to the idea the Browns want to see Joe Flacco as the starting quarterback in week one. In fact, I'm almost subscribed to the absolute opposite, that I feel like they would rather take anybody else right now at quarterback in week one. In their preference, in who they would want to start. I mean, listen, we listened to Bill Musgrave go out there and say that Kenny had a couple of stellar days, and I know multiple times through Jimmy Haslam's press conference or talking with the media, however you want to frame that, he went out and he commented on Kenny multiple times. Several times he went out there and said how big of a loss it was not to have Kenny in this battle and how important it was and how great he was playing. He mentioned Kenny over and over again despite being injured and not being the main focal point of the conversation. And to some degree, that makes a ton of sense to me too. If you're the Browns, obviously, you're leaving the door open for Joe to start, but I think you're leaving that door open if nobody else proves that they're the starter. But I don't think you want Joe to start. I don't think that's what you want to happen. It feels to me that the Browns brought in Joe Flacco as sort of that the relief role. The if nobody else does it, at least we have Joe, and we can count on Joe. We like Joe, and we trust him. But it was always going to be ran as, yes, this is a four-man competition, but it did feel like this is Joe's job until it's somebody else's job. And we've said that. Like, that is something that has been uttered out of my mouth, that you can just go in and put Joe in that position right now. But there's nothing that feels like that Joe can do to solidify, hey, that job's mine. Like, unless he goes out there, and I mean, maybe if he completes every single pass and throws a million touchdowns against the defense, maybe it's undeniable and you can't look any other way. But truthfully, the Browns know what they have in Joe, not just from the fact that he's been in the NFL for like 18 years and they've been able to watch it over the course of that time, but also he played here in 2023. I know exactly what I'm getting on a daily basis, day in and day out. I know what Joe brings me. I know that on the field, what he is capable of, what he is not capable of, because we've seen both of those play out. Welcome to a playoff game. But like, I think if the Browns had their choice, they would take every second, every single time that they could take to bring one of the other quarterbacks in and say, that guy looks better than Joe. I want that guy to start for me. Or that guy's on par with Joe. And he's also, I don't know, 16 years younger. I would rather have that guy start for me. I don't think the Browns ever wanted Joe to be the starter. Joe always felt like the fallback option. And it feels that way in the way that they were handing Kenny Pickett reps and the way that they were talking about Kenny left and right when he was in there. I think it's also doubly reflected that when Kenny goes down and they just slide Dylan Gabriel essentially into that role, and they go, you know what? Maybe Dylan will prove it. I think the Browns are basically begging and pleading that somebody else looks absolutely incredible, that somebody else looks great, and that can be the guy that steps up for you. And again, you just know what Joe's going to be when he gets there. If I have to turn to him, you don't feel terrible about it, but I'm just waiting for the other guy to prove that they're ready or show me that they're ready. And I'd love to start that guy instead. I think that's so clear and obvious. There's every single way that they've handled it that it was never meant to be the Joe show, right? It's great with the fans. You kind of double down and you win with it. But Joe was the most known quantity the Browns could have possibly brought in from any other quarterback that they had to choose from. He was the most sure thing that they could get. And then you go down the line, you make your choices. Like, part of this is, and I know that Mary Kay's put it this way, it's a fact-finding mission. You're trying to figure out what you are and what you aren't. And it's the exact same way with the quarterbacks right now. You're trying to figure out what they are and what they aren't. It makes every sense for the Browns want to have Dylan Gabriel prove himself to be the number one. Again, I don't know that he's doing that, but you should want that to happen. They don't have a reason not to. Again, you draft him in the third round, or Shador. They're both in this conversation. Again, I'm talking about Dylan because he's the one actually getting the reps right now, but Shador fits in that conversation just as well. You should want that guy to step up and take the job. You get to start a rookie, feel confident in a rookie, and possibly have any opportunity to find your franchise quarterback. That's not just media speak. That's not just, you know, fans sitting there and saying, that's what we want to happen. That's what the Browns want to happen. That's also their goal. They just have to operate in a, this business is also built on winning football games mindset, so we can't just trash the quarterback room, and then if we win two games, go, oh well, guess we'll try it again next year. Like, as much as you want them to do that, that's also what leads to head coaches and everybody getting fired. And if you're going to throw that quarterback room at them and you're Jimmy Haslam and you have any say in that, and you go, we're not signing Joe, we got to find the quarterback of the future, you'd also probably just go, yeah, well, I'm also probably just going to fire Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry at that point then. Because they're going to be bad again. And if you're not winning football games, I'm sorry, you don't get to keep your job. It's just not the way it works. But you didn't just draft two quarterbacks to let them sit there and be nothing and not see them play and then go take one in 2026. You drafted two quarterbacks to give them an opportunity and give them a shot. You drafted two guys that at least one of them you really liked and at least the other one you saw as a value pick that you liked at that spot. And you brought in those guys and said, all right, if any of you, and you can throw Kenny Pickett in the mix, is any three of you actually prove to me that you can be a starting quarterback and you can take this team to wins, and I see that and I see a future with you as my quarterback, and I can see it every time you drop back to pass, I'm jumping at that opportunity. And I think that they're leading up to this. I still don't think, like, we can talk about maybe Joe will run the joint practices and they'll throw the other guys in the games. Maybe that's what will happen, because they're going to give all the other ones the best reps that they can in that period to say, all right, let's see what you guys have, but then we're going to turn this over to guys like Dylan and guys like Shador and Kenny and everybody else to see what they look like in a game. I would not be surprised if Joe's not your starter week one. The only surprising part of that to me would be that one of these guys looks a hell of a lot better than Joe does, or even looks on par to Joe. But don't be mistaken. If one of those guys shows up, I'm pretty sure they're taking the job. 216-474-0092. Who do you think the Browns want to start at quarterback for them? Because for me, it's basically anybody but Joe. Coming up here in 5 minutes, the Browns feel like they kind of made a mistake when addressing not one position, but just about everywhere. I'll explain what I mean right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We've talked plenty of quarterbacks up to this point. We're going to stay talking Browns in a little bit. Hey, we got plenty coming up. I will reveal the small spoiler. I did watch Happy Gilmore 2. Everybody's given their review.
You finished it?
I finished it. I watched it last night before I fell asleep. We will have our full review at some point, just like 3 days delayed from everybody else. That feels proper for basically how I operate. I'm procrastinator in the finest. Everyone's like, I got to see this. We can turn it into a topic. And I'm like, yeah, I'll debate if I want to watch it over the course of like 3 days and then bring a review later than everybody else.
I know the morning show talked about it last Friday with their fill-ins. I know Danny and Spencer were in. They talked about it. Then Nick and Anthony talked about it on Saturday because Nick had already seen it. So yeah, you probably are a little late to the party here. Every show's maybe covered it.
And I get you on Wednesday, right? We got to space them out. You don't want to hear like five Happy Gilmore reviews in the same day. Okay, that's no fun. I got to get to the spread out version. So we will get to that. Of course, we're also going to get to the Guardians when they wrap up in a rubber match tonight against the Colorado Rockies over at Progressive. But wanted to keep talking Browns with you guys because I think it feels very obvious. And we talked a little bit and we've asked questions really throughout the course of the last week or so about the depth on this team, right? I think we've been pointing to wide receiver depth problems. And obviously now with Jordan Hicks down, you're talking about linebacker problems. They're not down, retired. I shouldn't make it sound like he got injured. The guy retired. But like, he's gone, so you have linebacker problems. Now we're talking about potential secondary problems with MJ Emerson being down. And I think this all leads to the exact same conversation, the exact same point. And it's a failure by the Browns to address something before the season or before the offseason has even started. You clearly had a depth problem. Like, almost everywhere on the team. You had a depth problem at quarterback. You had a starter problem at quarterback. Then you had a depth problem at quarterback. And you said, okay, we're going to address that. We're going to bring in four guys. We're going to make sure that we at least have depth here and we have options. And that's obviously a much different, it's not just pure depth, but same exact thing. You also went through, and I think on the offensive line, I don't know that you fully addressed the depth problem. I think that might be a little bit of an issue. But you did go and pick up a couple of guys. Like, I'll give you your nod where it's due. You went and you got Tevin Jenkins. You got Cornelius Lucas after losing Chris Hubbard. So you went through and tried to address some of the just depth problems that you had from last year because we know that this offensive line goes through injuries. I can look around a lot of the rooms here and talk about a true depth problem that you have, though. Like, we're seeing them all come to fruition. You lose Jordan Hicks. We're talking about a linebacker problem. You lose MJ Emerson. I don't know that we're talking about a secondary slash corner problem, but every time you lose MJ, it's obviously going to be a massive hit to the defense. We're also talking about having to move Greg Newsom to the outside, who he thinks he's an outside corner and is adamant that he's an outside corner. The stats would say otherwise. Really liked you in the slot. And like, yeah, I like some of the other guys there. I like Cameron Mitchell, but you don't have a ton of depth. Defensive line's the one issue or the one place that I feel like you have adequate depth. But then everywhere else, running backs. Quinshon obviously dealing with off-the-field issues. You're left to Dylan Sampson and Jerome Ford. Quinshon was the only running back that you had of a certain caliber, of a certain just way that he runs the ball, and all of a sudden the run game we have real concerns about it as soon as one guy is gone. And again, it's your top guy. Anytime you start losing your top pieces, I'm not saying the team doesn't get worse. That's a way that a team is built, right? That's a way that you structure it, is that you play your best players. But it feels like in a perfect world, perfect scenario, the Browns built a team that I don't know that we could be confident in by any means, but I think you could be excited for. And you could look around and look at the top pieces and say, I trust in these guys. I think they're going to be able to be something. But as soon as you got past those top guys and you suffer injuries, and again, it's the National Football League. You're going to suffer injuries. That's just the nature of the game. It doesn't feel like you were properly set up for it. For a team, by the way, if any team should be set up for disaster happening, it feels like the Browns should be set up for that. They've watched their offensive line crumble multiple years in a row. They've watched their quarterback room, due to injuries, not just last year, but due to injuries in years past, crumble and you just be working your way down the line. I don't know how this is something that it just clearly passes you by because depth is not something that's entirely hard to come by in the NFL, it feels like. Great depth, yeah, of course. You got to have the starter and then great guys to back them up. But when you talk about depth in general, it shouldn't be the most difficult thing to get your hands on. Like, there's guys bouncing around as free agents every single year. You have tradable pieces if you're the Browns that you could attack depth.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, if you're going to make trades and you're the Browns, you are going to have to build this thing like you're the Guardians. You are going to have to say, I got to go get me a guy with multiple years of control who I don't just lose after this year. Because, again, we know this thing isn't built for 2025. You're building for the future. But this is where this awkward balance of trying to compete and trying to develop and get younger comes into the mix. Like, we can look at it and go, well, what does it matter if they have depth? 2025 doesn't matter. It definitely matters for guys like Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. It matters for guys who want to win football games. It matters for the guys who are putting on your uniform every day and going out there and putting their bodies on the line. That's where depth matters. Like, if I'm Myles Garrett and I see a player go down and the next guy to step up, respectfully, isn't worth a damn, I'm going to start to have some issues. Like, right now, your linebacker room, and the way that it was slotted, like your base first-team defense was Carson Schlesinger with a green dot on his helmet, Devin Bush, who's going through outside of football troubles of his own, and Mahmoud Diabate. And I like Mahmoud Diabate, I do. Like, I thought Mahmoud was much better last year than I thought he was ever going to be. I thought he stepped up. He was great in just spot roles where he stepped in. I don't know that he's an everyday linebacker, but I trust him for what he is right now. I don't want that guy to be my starting linebacker. I don't want him to have to step in and play a true role. Not with everything that I've seen. I want something higher up than that. I want a better product than that. But if you're the Browns, you have to be able to look around your own room and say, yeah, we might like some of the younger guys we have. We also got to prep for injuries here a little bit. We got to make sure that there's guys who can step up and step into these roles. And for the Browns, it felt like a lot of the offseason was centrally focused, as, again, to a point it should have been, on the quarterback position and trying to figure out what you do there. And you slotted 4 different guys into, all right, well, you know, we'll go out and sign 4 different players to play one position. And that's currently taking up a roster spot from somebody who might be able to fill in something differently for you. A wide receiver, which, again, I give you some credit for going and getting Diontae Johnson. But you did the exact same thing in the draft. Like, the draft later rounds is to some degree built on depth. Like, if you feel like you can get a steal, you get a piece deeper there. You drafted 2 quarterbacks and 2 running backs, knowing that my linebacker room is nothing. You did draft a linebacker. I give credit there as well. But, like, you did go through and just act as if some of these problems didn't exist and just hope that they wouldn't have to fester and actually come to light. But here they are. The Browns have a true depth problem. They do. Every single place that you look, this team is in a serious problem with trying to fill in if they have any sort of injury. And I think that's part of the reason why you look around and it's like, oh, the Browns roster looks good if you look at the starters. Like, part of what makes teams like the Eagles great is that if they suffer an injury on their defense, they got somebody else to step up and fill the role. And it's somebody that they trust and somebody that a large portion of the NFL and NFL fan bases would trust if they were on their team. That's part of being great, is being able to set yourself up. And I get it. The Browns are not set up for greatness this year. And great teams set up for depth. And you don't necessarily have the luxury to do it. But there's other ways to address it. In places where you feel like you don't have a solidified starter. I would argue at places like wide receiver, which is why you went out and got Deontay Johnson. I would argue maybe to some degree left tackle. I know you trust in DeJuan, but at some point left tackle. I think you could look at a lot of the secondary. I think you could look at a lot of the linebacker core. Forget about bringing in guys and thinking, hey, just in case somebody gets injured, that's why I'm bringing this guy in. You can flip your mindset. You can bring guys in to go compete for a starting job. And again, in a lot of the places you look, I get financials are something that, you know, come into practice here and they come into play. A lot of the positions I'm talking about, I'm not saying go out and sign a guy that makes $20 million a year. You don't have to make these massive signings to be competitive inside of your own building. It's the exact reason how you got Deontay Johnson. All it took was a player that nobody else wanted after, well, kind of made an ass of himself. After he left Carolina or moved on from Carolina, he kind of made an ass of himself with Baltimore. And where else? He was in Houston before he was in Baltimore. He was everywhere. That dude was bouncing around from like the last couple of weeks. I think it was Houston.
He was with Houston. He got traded from
Carolina to Houston.
But to Baltimore.
Then he went to Houston.
Then he went back to Baltimore, wasn't it? Or
I'm everywhere on this. I don't know. Like that's it.
It was Houston and Baltimore. Those are the
those were the two teams he was on. Yeah, I don't know what order they went in at this point. All I know is he made an ass of himself. All right, like the fact that he was on two teams in the span of like 7 weeks tells me he kind of made an ass of himself. And if you want to extend it out, you could go like 8 or 9 weeks. He was on three teams. That shouldn't happen in the NFL. Like that should not be something that happens. But yeah. That's how you get him, because he was on the cheap. Nobody else wanted him, and it made a competitive room. And people have good things to say about Deontay Johnson today, right? That he looks good in Browns training camp. So all you had to do was go put out a couple more of those guys, and all of a sudden, a place where you're competing for a starting job turns into depth very, very quickly. 216-474-0092. Again, we're going to react to the Guardians as soon as they wrap up over at Progressive Field, but a Happy Gilmore 2 review waiting in the wings. And I don't talk golf often, but when one of the goats of another sport chimes in, you start to talk. It's in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Bad news. You're going to have to wait for the Happy Gilmore 2 review. I'm sorry. Okay? I know you've already heard six of them, but obviously everybody would be more dialed into mine. Naturally, of course, right? Come on, guys. I mean, I did work at a movie theater for like 6 years. I mean, that gives me all the credence in the world, right? Nobody cares, but that's okay. But the good news, the Guardians, winners over the Rockies by a final score of 5-0. That is zip. That is zero runs scored by a team in a game which Coby Allard started. Let's just wrap our head around that one. Woo! And forget that. Matt Festa pitched, Jacob Junis pitched. We didn't give up a run. Guys, this is as good as it gets. Everybody get ready to celebrate. And then maybe not celebrate. We'll talk about that later on, though. But let's react to the game the only way we know how, with 3 and Out.
Post-game reaction on The Fan starts now. It's time for 3 and Out. Overtime with Jake Volnick. Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
All right, let's kick things off. First down. Oh, I think we have to start with where I just sort of mentioned. What a day by the bullpen. Like, it's as simple as that. The takeaway is what a day by the bullpen. A lot of guys pitching today who I have consistently just harped on and told you I have zero confidence in, okay? They close things out the right way. The last three pitchers to go, Nick Enright, who I think has been really good as of late, Hunter Gaddis, who I obviously have faith in. He hasn't been incredible this year, but he's been good. He's been one of your back-end bullpen guys that, for the most part, you can trust. And then Cade Smith, who, well, for right now, is your closer. And he closed things out tonight. Not a save opportunity, but he did go out there and shut the door, not allowing any hits in his one inning of work. But it's the other guys that I focus on. Like, getting one hit given up across 3 1/3 innings from Coby Allard, And then following that up, I get Matt Festa to get two outs by throwing four pitches. And then Jacob Junis follows it up with two scoreless innings as well, where he gives up just one hit. Like, again, I know we're playing the Colorado Rockies, and the only thing more sad than the offense is that pitching staff. But, I mean, they are, like, it's still a major league offense, and these are still some of these worst pitchers that you have on the roster who are actually stepping up and coming through big for you. A day away from the trade deadline, in which none of them will be involved, by the way. Let's make that very clear. Those three guys, unless they're a tack on for maybe a printer, are not going to be involved at the trade deadline. Like, if you needed an extra bullpen catcher, Kobe Allen, Matt Festa might be your guy. But again, actual props up to them, though. I thought a really good outing from all three of them. I can't be mad. Guardians win again. That's a reason to be happy. Let's get to second down. All right, second down sees a rare admittance from me that David Fry had a good night. And he came up big. So David Fry is a guy who, again, another one that I sort of harp on because, well, he's hitting 174 on the year. His OPS is slotted below 600. And he came back from an injury and they put him in the majors. And that's more of the organization's fault, but not David's. He came up big tonight. He had a two-run homer, also walked in his only two at-bats of the game. He only pushed across five runs, and two of them came in the bottom of the eighth. So we weren't working with a whole lot here. We were not working with an offense firing on all cylinders. You got early production out of Fry, and that was about it. You should have been able to take Kyle Freeland basically yard 19 times. You should have been able to run around the bases on him. But
I think he left the game early.
Oh, well, now I feel a little bad. I think you're right. I think he did. I looked up at some point.
I saw it, and he was in the dugout with his head down, so I think he might have gotten hurt. I'm not 100% sure. But he left the game very early tonight.
He probably should have been able to hit around a little bit more on him when he was in, and then probably hit a little bit more on the bullpen. Obviously hoping the best for Kyle Freeland, the person. But as a pitcher this year, well, he hasn't been great.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I like what David Fry showed. More importantly, the four hole was just good tonight because you went to a right-hander after that. And guess what? Kyle Manzardo got to come back in. Remember, not allowed to hit against lefties. Not allowed. But he did come in after he got a right-hander back on the mound and also delivered an RBI from the four hole where he went 1-for-2. He struck out and he had an RBI single. That one of those runs in the bottom of the eighth. So just big ups from the four spot. And I guess while we're here, I'll give props to Carlos Santana, who was 2-for-4 tonight, also with an RBI. A double given the RBI, and he singled early on in the game as well. Drive up that trade value, Carlos. Drive it up. Make somebody interested. That was your last opportunity. So hopefully somebody was watching. Anybody need a first baseman? We're taking offers. Let's get to third down. Wrapping things up in third down, this was the only way I could imagine this going. That is being 500 on the dot by the time that you get to the deadline. It's only right. You play a ton of bad teams to wrap up the schedule. You win a ton of series. in which you took every series except for the one from the Royals, which was the only team who was any good. But I do think that looking at this, you made it as difficult as possible for the organization to actually decide what they want to do. Now, Emmanuel Clase helped out your case a little bit there. He definitely pushed that into being a real existence that, yeah, this team's probably going to sell. They're probably not going to be buyers. And they're really not going to be buyers. There's no probably. They're not going to be buyers. They're probably going to be sellers. It's just a matter of how large now. But you did make it as difficult as you could. Like, if Class A was still here, this would be the most difficult decision this organization has right now, which would be, do we full sell? Do we half sell? Do we do nothing? Do we add a couple of pieces? Because this team's right in the thick of it. But, I mean, listen, I know you're playing one of the worst teams in baseball. Props to you for getting a win. Props to you for actually going out there and competing. Well, you had a lot of things swirling around this week that were outside of your control. You at least got the portions done that you needed to get done. You took care of the teams you should have. And if you stay hot enough, if you find a way, you'll be able to compete for a playoff spot. That's just, of course, going to get more and more difficult as we talk about what's in front. Just something that we're going to do coming up here. But before we do, got to punt the ball. Guardians get the day off, as they should, because the trade deadline is tomorrow. You got to figure things out. I think the official time now, they moved it back. It's 6 p.m. On tomorrow, you have to have everything done, dusted, called into the league office by 6 p.m. And I will tell you right now, be ready until 6 p.m. because I think it was within the last hour of the trade deadline is when we saw Josh Bell get traded. I want to say that was leading right up to the very end of it.
I think it was a buzzer beater. Like, I don't think we saw the trade till like 6:05.
Yeah, that's not great. But you got to be on your toes. It wasn't a very interesting. Who did we get for that? It was Khalil Watson with the main return.
Straight up.
Well, he's in AAA in a sink or swim move right now. So not that Josh Bell's been any good. He was pretty good for that year. I mean, when he went over, he looked pretty solid, but he has not been good since. But yeah, like, just be aware until 6 p.m. You have to pay attention up until, because the Guardians will be making calls. They will be talking to people up until the very last second, even if it's a small move. Even if it is, you know, and I know that Josh Bell you consider a super small move, but it was relatively small. Like, the grand scope of Major League Baseball. But they could do something right at the end. They have done it, so you're going to have to be locked in up until 6. Of course, tomorrow we'll be reacting to it. But they do get back to action on Friday. They stick right here in Cleveland, coming back from the trade deadline, maybe a new look team. So I'll throw out the probable starters, but pretty sure these two guys are safe. You just never know. It's going to be taking on the Minnesota Twins. Again, you have increased now up to 54-54 after the win. The Twins currently sitting at 51-57. Gavin Williams going to be on the bump. I don't think he's getting traded. He's going to be on the bump going up against, Minnesota's ace and Joe Ryan. He's 10-5 with a 2.82 ERA. That is not going to be a very easy game to win, as it never is when you're going up against Joe Ryan, but it should make for an interesting pitcher's duel.
Aren't they maybe going to trade Joe Ryan?
You really think they're moving up? Like,
No, I don't.
No, I know his name's been floated. I think he's probably going to be there. I think when you get a pitcher who's got years of control, who looks as good as he does on a yearly basis, you probably don't move off of Joe Ryan, even if your team's bad, which, by the way, Minnesota is, and they're probably looking to sell off of multiple pieces. Already saw move off of Yoan Duran. Nailed that one. But already saw move off of him. So, listen, anybody's on the table, but I think they're going to probably hold on to Joe the same way that people are on the table right now for the Guardians. You're going to hold on to Gavin Williams. Like, I don't think you're going to move Gavin unless you got like a can't refute offer, which nobody's godfathering at the MLB trade deadline. That's not happening. So again, that one's 7:10 on Friday. You get the day off. Trade deadline coming up. And that leaves it to us to ask you at 216-474-0092. Obviously, you can call in. Reaction from tonight's 5-0 win as the Guardians improved to .500. But we're going to have a deeper conversation, because there is plenty of things swirling about the MLB trade deadline, one of which is that Stephen Kwan is absolutely on the table. The Guardians are apparently fielding calls. Jeff Passan making it in an article very available today. The chance of the Guardians moving Kwan is higher than teams believed a week ago. And Mark Feinsohn chimed in as well with the Guardians are, and I quote, trying to move both Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber per source. And then he goes on, Bieber made his fourth rehab start, strikeout seven, no walks, and returns from 2024. Tommy John, $16 million player option, $4 million buyout for 2026. But the key, the Guardians are, quote, trying to move both Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber. So you can call it the reaction, but I think the more important thing here, we have less than 24 hours. Are you open to the Guardians moving Stephen Kwan? How angry will you be? Because there is a very real chance that Stephen Kwan ended his Guardians tenure with a 1-for-4 game while coming across to score and then could be playing somewhere else. There's plenty of teams rumored to be interested. I know the Phillies have been one of those teams, although they're the ones who got Yoan Duran and traded away their fourth and their sixth prospect in order to do so. Also makes you think about something else we'll talk about later. And you could go and, like, you could give him to the Yankees. I just wouldn't feel great about giving him to the Yankees. That wouldn't make me feel very good. But I know they're interested. Other teams have been floated around. I've seen the Mets' name in trades. I've seen the Padres' name in trades. Everybody is basically calling about Stephen Kwan right now. Again, 216-474-0092. Are you open to trading Stephen Kwan at this point? I have a very big feeling that the vast amount of you are going to say no. That nobody wants to trade Kwan. The reality is, though, I think you're going to have to think about it. And we're going to have to break down what this team looks like heading into future years, keeping Kwan or moving off of him and getting something back. I wouldn't have done it before Klasse got removed for the team for paid non-disciplinary action leave. But after that happens and knowing what comes, if that's proven to be true, you kind of have to open that up. And I think about where this team is headed. I like Cade Smith. I don't like the current state of your bullpen. I don't like the current state of your offense. I'm semi-okay with the current state of your starting pitching staff. Those aren't a good combination to feel really good about a team. So as Kwan is on the table, they are, quote, trying to move Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber. You got to think that comes into play a little bit. Again, we're going to talk about it more coming up here in 5 minutes. 216-474-0092. Would you be in on trading Stephen Kwan now? And a return inside of the AL Central definitely makes you think about a what if. On Overtime with Jake Volnick, right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.